The following is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Life as a Life Schooler, where we talk about how to merge life with homeschooling. I'm Danielle Papagiorgio, and we're actually here in Huntsville, Alabama, at the Home Education Conference, the Educating for Success Home Business Conference with Ray Perry. And joining me today are John and Jennifer Robinson. And you might think we had to meet up in Huntsville so we could get this interview, but they're actually from Charlotte also. So we're going to talk with them today and hear about their experiences with life schooling. And we'll talk a little bit too about what we're learning here at the conference, because if you haven't been to one of Ray Perry's conferences, you need to go. They are awesome. You meet so many cool people from all over the country. I feel like it's a little family reunion every year that we come. Yeah. And we've been coming for the last 4 years, so I watched some of these other kids every year. They look a little bit bigger and older, and so it's kind of fun. But I want to welcome you guys to the show today and just ask you, go ahead and introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us. I'll let Jen introduce herself first.
Okay, well, thank you, Danielle. We so appreciate being here today. My name's Jennifer Robinson. We just finished our first year of homeschooling. As you mentioned, we're from Charlotte, North Carolina, or at least that's where we have lived for the past 6 years. I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee, but that's another story for another day. But we just finished our first year of homeschooling, and it has been amazing. Right before we started that first official day of school, we came to your life schooling conference. Mm-hmm. It was about a month before we were going to officially start school. And I just learned so many awesome things at that conference, and it just solidified a lot of ideas in my mind about looking at home education as a freeing opportunity and not getting tied down and bogged down with rigid schedules or box curriculum. I didn't want to do any of that anyway, but listening to you and the speakers at your conference just reaffirmed that we were on the right track. And so it just really gave us a really positive kickstart to our school year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It goes back to 2011 when we first started to study as parents homeschooling, and we went to our first conference. And at that point, Jennifer wasn't overly interested in doing it herself. She just didn't feel that calling. And so I started studying it even further, and I thought, well, hey, I can do this. I think it's something that we really need to consider. And so I went out on a limb, and I was kind of planning to take it on myself to be a homeschool dad, and I think there's maybe five of those in the country. But I connected with another homeschool dad in Nashville, or just outside of Nashville at that time. And so I confirmed with him that it can be done, but it was a tough road. And then through a bunch of series of different things, God had some different plans for us at that time, like Jennifer alluded to. That's kind of a whole other story. But we kind of put it on the back burner for a couple years. And then Jen mentioned to me, I forget the timing of that, but she was like, you know, I think we need to consider this. We were blessed to have found a private Christian school in the Charlotte area when we moved. And the kids went there for 4 years, and it was a great blessing to meet the people that were involved and for the kids to have that teaching and to have, I guess, build that foundation. Mm-hmm. But as life happened, and as we were both in the whole corporate rat race, we just realized, I think we just started talking and looking at our daughter, our oldest, who's 10 at this point. You know, she's grown up. You know, and we only have so much time with our kids. How are we going to be intentional? And that's a big word that we try to make sure that we do, and it's tough. But how are we going to be intentional with the time that God has given us? Yeah. So, go ahead.
Well, sorry to interrupt, but what I was going to say is we actually went to our first homeschooling conference when our daughter was a baby. She was maybe a year old. But for financial reasons, we both needed to work, and we couldn't homeschool. It just wasn't a practical option for us. But then fast forward to her 9th birthday, and the idea struck me, she's literally halfway out of our house. She's halfway to 18. Oh, wow. If we're ever going to do this homeschooling thing, we've just got to bite the bullet and do it. And we had felt that gentle calling, that gentle nudging from the Lord to to homeschool. But, you know, for our own fear, basically, of, well, we don't know how we're going to provide for our family. We really need two incomes. And that sort of thinking, we had put it off and put it off. And then she turned nine, and we realized we've got to just jump for it and go. And it really took a leap of faith, but God is so faithful, and He really has blessed us in this. So we took that leap of faith, and we have learned through this process that when you're obedient in the little things, then He will bless you with more, and He will open up, you know, the windows of opportunity after you've taken that first step of faith. And that's what happened for us.
Absolutely. And that's what faith is you're facing that fear. We don't know. We have to trust the Lord. And I think too often we want to have our plans all laid out. We want to know exactly how it's going to go, and, you know, what's everything that we need to do? What's the perfect curriculum? And that's not usually how God works. I mean, He wants us to trust first and say, okay, I'll be obedient to what You've called me to do. I know You're going to lead me and provide.
Yeah, and one of the things that I still struggle with, and Jennifer reminds me of it often, is expectations. And I think as parents, we have these expectations of our children are going to be the smartest and the best at sports and the best at this. And then when reality doesn't match up to those expectations, everybody reacts to it differently. But in my case, you know, I get mad or I get moody or whatever I'm happen to be dealing with. But God knows how all this is going to turn out. So we've got to rely and trust on Him and listen to those little pieces of the little pushes that He gives us. And, you know, sometimes you have to pray, or at least we do, we pray for Him to make things stupidly obvious, is what we call it. And He will do that.
And he
did
does.
That when we moved from Nashville to Charlotte. But we're doing that now on a couple other things, and we just want to make sure that we're picking up the right hints, and we're not reading too much into things, and we're not taking the wheel and trying to steer the ship. Because I know personally, I'm very good at trying to do that. And that usually doesn't turn out all that well, or it's not as good
we
as he expects.
Good at that.
So, trying to get better at that, but that's a life journey there. But with the homeschooling stuff, I mean, He has just provided, and there's definitely moments where we've stopped, and if you stop, smell the roses, and really look around and see what you're doing, you can allow yourself to scare the pants right off of you. But when you look at it in the right perspective, and look at it on the big scope of what's really going on, and also compare what it looks like that you're attempting to do versus what real world and our current culture is, then that motivates you, or at least it does with us, to keep on going, because there is so much evidence out there right now of what public schools, as an example, are producing, and we do not want any part of that. Now, that's not to say that if you homeschool your kids, they're going to turn out perfectly and you're not going to have any issues. I'm not saying that at all. But there's just so much that you're not going to be subjected to right off the bat, and you have a lot more control of what you have to do or whatever. It's just it's just a better scenario. And then when you start comparing it to what the Bible says, you're actually doing what God has commanded us to do. And it's a parental responsibility to educate your kids, and as a culture we've forgotten that.
Absolutely. And you know, I think you talk about what's going on in the public schools, and we don't want our kids to turn out like that. Well, how do we influence them? And it's time. Like, we have to be with them. And so I think that's what a lot of people who don't homeschool, or, you know, they don't even consider it, is because they don't see the big picture, like you're talking about. It's not just about academics. It's not about producing smart children who are competent and, you know, all of this stuff. I mean, the main issue is the character. You can teach, you can learn things throughout your life. I mean, you can pick up knowledge if you have a love of learning. So we got to teach them to love learning. And if you have good character, you're going to go far. In fact, it's interesting. I was reading Kevin Swanson's book, Upgrade. I don't know if you guys have read that.
It's a great book.
Yeah,
it's really good. But he was talking about he was talking about some study that they did, or they interviewed CEOs of companies and asked them, what are the qualities that make for a successful person who's successful in business? And, you know, maybe they asked them what the qualities were that they had themselves. I don't remember exactly. But the point being that the things that they listed were things that were not academic. Right. There are things like honesty mm-hmm. and integrity mm-hmm. and all of these things. You can't really, it's much harder when you're older to learn to be honest if you've been raised in a culture and an environment mm-hmm. where they're liars. Right. You know, teaching our children when they're young, when they're impressionable, getting that character ingrained, that has to be the priority. Mm-hmm. And again, I always come back to Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his mm-hmm. righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Mm-hmm. Again, it's that faith walk and just mm-hmm. trusting and believing as we train our children in godliness, mm-hmm. the other things will come yeah. in time.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And that was definitely something that I noticed in this first year, because coming out of being in a school setting, whether it's public school, private school, what have you, to your point, it's you're not spending that quality time. You're dropping them off at a school, and mm-hmm. you're not seeing them for several hours. And then you go to pick them up, and you're like, how was your day? What'd you learn? And all you hear is fine or nothing or what, you know, you don't have any quality conversation with them.
Right.
And that was so frustrating for me, picking them up in the afternoons. And I knew, I had no clue what they did mm-hmm. all day. I knew that they were around godly people because they were in a, you know, a Christian school environment.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no connection with that. And so that's one of the main things that I noticed bringing them home and homeschooling them is, you know, one day a week we go out and we go to lessons. Like our children ride horses at a horse barn that's 45 minutes from our house. So it's 45 minutes there and 45 minutes back. And that is some of the best quality conversation yeah. time that we have. And we talk about deep life conversation. I mean, you would be mm-hmm. amazed at the topics that my 7-year-old mentions from the back seat. And I'm going, wow, this is deep philosophical stuff here, but it's so cool. And yeah. we could not do that if we did not have that time physically together.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And I love that. Elena, my daughter Elena, did acting this year. And it was the same thing. Mm-hmm. I tell people how valuable that time was because it was just she and I in the car, 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back. And I would purpose what we were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not as much as I should have. But, you know, sometimes I try to be very intentional about checking up with her. You know, what'd you read in your devotions? Or what are you struggling with? Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And having those real Deuteronomy, what is it, six
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. conversations while we walk and while we sit. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that's just so valuable. And you're right, going back to what you were saying before about the time. It's mm-hmm. so fleeting. It's right. easy to think, well, we'll just get through this year, and then we'll work on some of these things, mm-hmm. or you know, maybe we'll homeschool next year, like you right. were saying. But we have to realize that our children are growing fast.
Yes, really,
it
fast.
Goes fast. I can't believe this week, while we're down here at this conference, my son turned 16. And I know your son had a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
how old?
Mm-hmm.
Just turned 8.
Yeah.
8.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it probably seems like he was just born, right?
Right, exactly. It does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look outside, they're out there playing now, and you look at him, it's like, and I told Jen even yesterday, our daughter's 10. You know, I've seen her around here, and just looking at her from a distance, I'm like, well, no, that's not her. And then I get closer, I'm like, oh, wait, that is her.
Like, that kid looks too old to be my child.
Well, who yeah. is that? And every day, and then I still travel quite a bit. And so if I'm gone for a few days and I come home, and the first thing I notice is they look different. You know, sometimes they even act different. I'm like, what
even
is
their
going
conversation
on?
Has matured. And I've noticed it just spending, you know, being with them every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing how yeah. quickly they're growing up. But the other thing I noticed, the other takeaway I had from this school year is, and I didn't realize the impact of this until this side of homeschooling, is that when we send our kids off to a school, we're basically giving them the silent message that I, as your mom or dad, am not your expert. I don't know anything, so I'm sending you off to the experts to
yeah.
learn.
That's a good point.
And immediately, as soon as they came back home, and I was their educator, and certainly not to say that I'm the smartest person or that I have all the answers, but I have a love of learning, and I share that with them. So when they ask something, I'm like, oh, that's a great question. Let's research that together, and we'll learn it together. and they see my enthusiasm about that. And so they'll joke with their dad when he comes home from the office. They're like, you really need to come to Mom's homeschool. She's so smart, you know.
And of course, I
asked. And they love it.
I was like, oh, that's neat. They want me to help teach, too.
And they're like, no, you need to learn from Mom.
I'm like, oh, well, what are you trying to say?
But it's the shift in mindset that they see us as quality sources. So they come to us with not just academic questions of, like, how do I solve a math problem, but they're coming to us like, my friend said this hurtful thing. How do I handle this situation? Yeah. And that's so much more important to coach them through that. And I would much rather walk them through that. And and I've had so many opportunities to have those kinds of conversations that I did not have when they were at school, honestly, because when I pick them up and I say, how was your day? There was some time separation from when they had that hurtful thing happen to when I picked them up and they'd forgotten about it, or they'd mention it 2 months later. And I'm like, well, why didn't you mention that when it happened? I could have walked you through that. And it's just like, it was out of their mind by that point.
Well, and we had 2 hours with them, basically, where we were home, but we had to get dinner.
Right.
And homework, which was starting to get out of control even at the early stages.
Even in kindergarten, they'd have lots of homework.
Yeah, really? And then you get through that, and it's like, all right, well, get ready for bed. And then done.
Yeah.
And so some of those important topics got pushed back or never even happened.
Or never happened.
There's not
time. It's just so many missed opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, too, that also, like you were saying before, becoming the expert to your children, you know, that you've built that trust because you are teaching them every day and they're starting to see you differently as someone that does know something, you know. So when they hit those teenage years, you're not just like, oh, yeah, Mom and Dad, they don't know anything.
Well, and as long as we nurture that and keep building upon that, Lord willing, that will last throughout their lifetime.
Right. Yeah.
So even as young adults, they'll still come to us with those big life issues.
Yeah.
And hopefully God will help give us the knowledge.
Give us the wisdom
and
the
answers and the wisdom to help answer those, because some of those things we're not ready for yet.
Yeah.
But,
right. Well, so tell me a little bit more then about some of the specific experiences, I guess, that you had this year with life schooling. Or were there some times when you kind of ran into that fear? Because being your first year of homeschooling, obviously, I'm sure you had times when it was like, I'm not following the curriculum or things like that.
Yes, I did have some of those moments, but I'll tell you that just from a big picture perspective, you know, all homeschooling families, when they meet somebody who's just coming into this, the first question they ask is, well, what curriculum should I use?
Right.
And you can't really answer that. That is a family by family decision, and honestly, it's a student by student decision, because
what
works for one student would be terrible for another student.
Mm-hmm.
But I had done a fair amount of research on that, and I knew that I wanted to do quality books, literature-based, living books, and that kind of thing, and just read together with my children. So that's kind of the concept where we were coming from. But I had also read an awesome book called Margin, and I forget the author's name. But it's an amazing, he's a medical doctor, but he's a Christian, and he basically talks about how we have to protect our time and be willing to say no. No is not a bad word, and we've got to be able to protect our time. And we've also got to protect our time to commit some time to prayer and spending time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to carry that into our homeschool. So I'm the kind of person that I love some, you know, I come to a conference and I just want to buy everybody's book. I want to buy every curriculum. I just love it all. And I had to really discipline myself to not sign up for every extracurricular. I mean, we're blessed to live in an area of the country where, honestly, my children could be signed up for music lessons, sports, art, you name it, every day of the week.
Yeah.
If we wanted to, if we had the time and the money, we could do it.
And then they'd be just like school kids.
And then they'd be just like school kids, and I would never see them.
Yeah, it's true.
But I had to be really disciplined not to do that. We really focused on what are the giftings that God has given our children, and what giftings do we need to help nurture. And let's focus on learning, you know, an art class, or, for example, my daughter is all into horses, so she rides horses. But my son is very athletic, and he's all into baseball. So that's what we tried to focus on. But there were certainly days, like you're talking about, where I get off track with the curriculum, or I'm behind schedule, and I gave myself permission. That's totally okay, because God moves in, and he presents us an opportunity. So for just a few examples of things that we've done, our church started going once a month to a local nursing home, and they invited the homeschooling families to take on this ministry because they couldn't get anybody else to do it, honestly, because people had jobs or their children were in school. But the homeschooling families had the free time, or, you know, you think. Because you're home. So we made a commitment, like, yeah, that's a great thing. It's a great life lesson for our children to help give back to the elderly. And it was amazing to see how they got plugged into that so quickly. And my 7-year-old at the time just loved it because he would go and serve ice cream. So he would go take orders from all the residents who live there. He's like, what kind of ice cream do you want? And he'd take it to them. And then we do arts and crafts with them. And so that was an awesome opportunity that we had. And then there was a couple of other things, like there was a local fire. And so we were able to collect supplies and talk about, you know, that's just stuff, and stuff burns mm-hmm. up and we lose things, but thankfully, you know, no lives were lost. And again, that's just one of those life lessons that because we're together, we can talk about it when it happens, and yeah. it's not a missed opportunity.
That's really neat. I love to hear about people's experiences, and it's just been so fun to have you guys on the show today and just kind of hear how your first year went. I think you're doing a great job. I'm really excited to see everything you're doing and just to hear about your experience, because that first year is tough, and I think a lot of people do kind of burn out and question, what are mm-hmm. we doing? Yeah. Because they're trying to model it after the school,
right.
because mm-hmm. that's what we all know.
Right.
So we thought
that that's what had to be done too. At first, uh-huh. we thought we had to bring the classroom home. We needed a special room. We needed a board up on the wall, all that kind of stuff. Thankfully, God saved us from that.
Yes.
As Jen says, He's freed us from that bondage.
He has freed us from that bondage. Don't buy the box curriculum.
And then that's one thing we want to make sure that.
I guess I'll never get any of those people advertising on this.
But we want new families to know that you don't. There's multiple ways you can do it.
There are,
and
absolutely.
If the box curriculum works best for you, then by all means, just
mm-hmm. yes.
just taking the action and taking control of your kids' futures.
Yeah, it's the mindset.
That's the key thing. So
right. Well, and just one other takeaway from this year is we made a commitment to go to the library one day a week, and we were going through world history, so we were just kind of hitting the highlights. Because again, my mm-hmm. children are still kind of young, but we would hit the highlights. You know, for example, we're talking about the Middle Ages, and I'd throw out, you know, a couple of names, and they would just take that and run with it, and then they would go to the library and find all these really cool books. So, for example, I was trying to find something to introduce them to King Arthur and Knights of the Round Table, and I was like, this is just so cool, but I'd never read the original text, and it's kind of adult. It's really mm-hmm. not appropriate for 5 or 6 or 7-year-old children. And I was stressing over this for like 3 days. I'm like, Lord, I just want to share with them who this is. Can you send me something? And no joke, my son Will walked up to me. He's like, Mom, this was an awesome book. He had read this whole chapter book. It was like 120 pages. It was one of the Magic Treehouse books. And I look at it to see what he read, and it was Christmas in Camelot. And I'm like, seriously? I said, who's this book about? And he said, some guy named King Arthur.
I love that.
And I just laughed. I was like, God, you're so good. You provide even when I, you know, I don't have the answers, but you just provide. You're so good.
Yes. Well, he's our teacher. I mean, he is the
ultimate teacher. Exactly.
Right, exactly. We think we have to take it all on, but he's got it under control. He's the teacher. Yeah. So that's a really neat story. I love that.
But thank you to you as well, because, you know, if it wasn't for your life schooling conference, we wouldn't have met Ray. And just within that last year, I mean, there's so many different things that have built off of just that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can look back and it's like, oh, we went from here to here. We've been to several conferences. We've met, you know, and started building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this is, Lord willing, going to lead into business.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe bring you home so that you're not you know, so
exactly.
you can be a teacher too. They don't
think
that you're the one that doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
He can be my student too.
Yeah, absolutely. I am another child anyway. So.
That's great.
But it's fun to watch how God just, you know, lays this all out. And obviously hindsight is so much clearer, but it's fun to look back and see the path that He has led us down. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to see what lies ahead.
That's great. Well, I'm excited for you guys.
Yes.
So thanks for joining us today.
Yeah,
this is great. We've enjoyed it.
Well, that's Life as a Life Schooler. Join us next time.